back to the Almaz Podcast. My name is Gabrielle Love and I am your host. I am so excited for today's episode. We've got an amazing woman with us today. I'm just excited to hear all about how she became the person she is today and where she gets all that confidence from. Because it, for me, I see that confidence in all of the work that she does, and I look up to it. I have to be honest. I really look up to it, and I can't wait to hear about that. Without further ado, Lidiana, welcome to the Almaz Podcast. Feel free to take a moment or two to introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. Thank you so much, Gabriella. So hi, guys. Hi, everyone. My name is Lidiana, and I'm a singer, a dancer. To some people, I'm also the Happy Monday girl. And my purpose in this lifetime is to make people happier and to bring out the best in you. So yeah, that's a short introduction.
Oh my God. I love that. To make people happier. Bring happiness to people. So that's what Happy Mondays is. Let's start there. Tell us about Happy Mondays.
So basically, I've been being like, you know, my natural self, entertaining, dancing, being funny every Monday, almost every Monday for the past 6.5 years. It was inspired through, you know, basically me and my friend were supposed to go on a holiday. She let me down last minute, and then I had to go on that holiday to Turkey by myself. My whole family was like so scared. They were like, don't go by yourself. Why are you going? But to me, that holiday was all about self-discovery. I got to know myself. And when I came back, I was just so filled with so much love and so much happiness that I had to share it with the world. And the world to me at that time was Instagram and still is. And then I just did a little dance and I said, Happy Monday. And since then, people were just like, oh, we're looking forward to next Monday. So the audience kind of made me do it every week. And now it's my routine. Every Monday, I wake up, I sing, I dance, and sometimes I share some words of wisdom as well.
That's amazing. I've seen a few of them. I had to scroll down to see all of them. But 6 years is a very long time. I mean, good for you for being committed to something for a long time. That's 52 times each year.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Pretty much, yes. Like I must say, during the pandemic, I've been not lazy, but I had to consciously sometimes decide when I need a day to myself, when I need to recharge. So it's been less this year, maybe like 45 more than 52. But again, I'm still there. And I always believe, like with everything that you do, don't start doing it if you're not ready to, you know, commit to it with everything.
That's a really good segue because I was into confidence, because I was thinking about that before we started the podcast. Because when I think of confidence, I think that it's this thing that you basically build by just doing things. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily something that you first have to like the formula in my head is you do things. And that builds confidence rather than you build confidence, which then allows you to do things. Mm-hmm. So which is a bit different from, you know, committing to something if you're not entirely sure if you're going to be able to hold yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Well, let's start there. What does confidence mean to you? How does confidence work?
Good question. And there were so many different elements to it. So I'll try to break them down. So confidence to me basically means to trust yourself like 100%. Basically knowing where you're going and doing it. And I think very often in this world, we need people that say, yeah, do it. We need like those people that push you because you're not sure. But when you have that full on confidence, then you just do it. And that's confidence to me. And in regards to how people built it, back in the day, I would have said, yeah, it's true. Like you keep doing it and then you're building it. Because with most things in this world, they say, practice how to play the piano and then you'll be an amazing pianist. And do this and then you'll be amazing. But with me, I must say, and I'm pretty sure there are people like me out there as well, I had that confidence before I had the skills. Meaning when I remember I was in first grade in school, and they were like, "Oh, would anyone like to sing a solo?" And this was like a little choir, and I was like, "Me." And then they said, "Do you have any experience?" I must have been 5 or 6 years old, and I said, "Yeah, I do. I'm amazing at that. I've been always amazing. I've got a lot of experience." And I don't know why I said that, because I've never sung before. But I just went there and I thought, whatever happens, happens. And that was already my way of thinking back then. And even if I didn't know exactly what the lyrics were saying, I would just, because I couldn't read at that time, I was like a 5-year-old child, I would just sing the melody and just make the best out of it. Because I think as children, especially if your parents nurture your confidence and your creativity, you have no fear, because you just go for everything. Because what are you scared of? Like that somebody says they don't like it? You don't even put that much value onto people at that time. And I think that's how I just became the person that I am today, like by just not caring too much about what other people had to say.
And I love that. And I agree with you. I mean, I do think that most children, I think most of actually, I think probably all children, as soon as they're born, the default state is confidence. And that's I think because there is no concept of confidence versus not being confident. There's just the experience of being yourself, being curious, expressing yourself and all that stuff. And I like my understanding is somewhere along the way, for some of us, that confidence peters out, whether that's because we have some experiences that are challenging, maybe we're bullied in school or things like that, and suddenly we don't feel confident anymore. So I know that you are also a confidence coach, so you coach people with confidence, in building confidence. Is that something you have noticed throughout like working with your clients? Are there experiences that most people have had at one point or another during their childhood that then, you know, sets them on a different path, you know, in the context of confidence? Or are there other causes? Like what have you noticed about why people end up having less confidence as adults?
Very good question. I think it's a mixture of things. Very, very often, like it's the fact that on your way to wherever you want to go, you lose yourself. And sometimes it's because of certain things that have happened. It could be people. Very often it's usually a male partner, and the reason why I say male is because most of my clients, it's mainly for women, even though for confidence coaching I sometimes do have men that come as clients. But very often I hear from women, "Oh, this person or this man said this to me." And because they love that person so much, they take it very, very, very serious. Then you have obviously other people that got told from when they were little, "You're not beautiful, you're not amazing, you're not this, you're not that," and they start continue believing that into being like an adult. And then certain other people, they just never had, because they come from different backgrounds and a completely different world, where that is just so far away from the Western world that they don't even understand what it means to be independent, to have your own way of thinking, because they always had somebody that looked after them. That could be parents, that could be a partner, that could be a community. So there are different things. Like some people are just completely unaware of what's out there, or they judge it. Like, some people think, "Oh my God, why is she so confident?" They're almost like offended by the confidence, because they don't know it. It's not a norm to them. So there are various things that could have happened, and for some people, nothing has happened because they never felt like that they wanted something else in life. So yeah.
So then how do you help people change that? So if like for example, the second one that you brought up was if someone heard that they weren't good enough, they weren't beautiful enough and all this stuff. If you hear that often enough as a child, as an adult, you've got work to do to change that. So how do you help people do that?
Thank you. I think the number one thing is, are you committed to working on yourself, because nobody can do the work for you. I can only coach them into the right direction. I can, you know, give them a call, give them a couple of, send them a couple of emails and be like, girl, have you done the work? And push them into the right direction for a month or so, depending on how long they book me for. But you have to do the work. So that means it's different for everybody. So for me, I'm a very, very open-minded person. So if you come at me and you say, okay, I would like to try this, I would like to try that, I'm cool with that. If you are someone that is more religious, then I'm like, okay, let's go the other way. If you're somebody that, like, I think in order to get to the next level, regardless of what it is in life, you have to be open-minded in order to flow energetically. So we do different things. It could be starting off with affirmations. Some people look at me like, why is she looking in the mirror and says, oh my God, you're beautiful. You're amazing. Why is she doing that? And for me, it's like a ritual. It's normal. I don't wake up not doing that, you know? So becoming like being, making it a normality to love yourself, to openly love yourself, to say it into the mirror, to meditate. Again, for a lot of people, it seems like very woo-woo, like meditating. I think it's only now during the pandemic that people started being a bit more open for new things. Like I'm talking about people that are usually not open for those type of things because they're you know, in their 9 to 5 and da-da-da and living the normal busy life and stuff. For other people, it's dance, because my company started off with Shigitu, started off with dance and then kind of went into confidence coaching. So some people learn it through moving their body. I now also became a Reiki practitioner, so I can also help them to heal themselves through Reiki. So yeah, there are so many different ways. Visualization, there's so many things that they can do. But the main thing, literally 50% of it, is being committed to yourself and wanting to do it and being aware of it and being open-minded. When you have that, the rest is just going to come with it. So,
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I was smiling as you were speaking because everything you're saying makes sense. Everything you're saying makes sense. And I love that you brought up your dance company as well as Reiki, because this gives me like a much more holistic picture of what you're doing and what you're up to. So okay, let's backtrack a bit. How did this happen? All this stuff, because you're incredibly multi-talented. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you've had the time in your life to work on all of these different things and just be productive on these different levels. So let's start with, how did these things happen for you? So your music, your dance, the coaching, obviously it was an extension of the dance, but how did this unfold for you?
Ah, wow. So let me go way back to when I was born in Germany. So my parents, they're from Eritrea originally. And when they came to Germany a couple of years later, I was born. And from when I was little, I just loved attention. I think that was my first love, like literally having people around me, listening to me. And I started learning how to talk at the age of 2, like full on conversations, just like about, have you seen her doing this with him and there? And just attention was already amazing. Like I just loved it. And then with that, my love for music, my love for dancing, my love for, you know, being in the center of attention and acting and all sorts of stuff kind of was pretty much nurtured. Like my mom always said, whenever I said, oh, I'm not sure, she would say, do it. And I'm like, mom, what about theater? Just do it. And she could hardly speak German, but she would always take me to all the classes and all the groups and everything. So I really loved entertaining from the get-go. And then having to go to school for 12 years and pretty much learning things that I really didn't want to learn was a waste of time for me at that time. I was like, why am I learning maths? Why am I learning this? There are so many things that I still want to learn and so many things that I want to achieve and stuff. So obviously, like everybody else, I had to go through the normal educational system. And then when I was done, like literally 3 days later, I said, mom, I'm packing my suitcase. I'm going to London to pursue my career as a musician. So my focus was music. I did music technology. I did singing. I did commercial music, everything, studying from college to university, and I loved it. And I always thought that I wasn't good in school, but I realized I just didn't like the German school because everything that I loved, I had distinctions, 5A star, this, that, all sorts of things, like honorary, blah-di-da, first degree, everything. I don't remember all those titles, but I had it all. And because I loved what I was learning. So I think for me, whenever I love something, it comes so easily to me. It's just like magic, as if I didn't have to learn it. So for me, it always comes from a place of passion. So when how Shigito was built was so my dance class Shigito was through I was basically in a day job and which I didn't like, but then they told us like I think 5 months ahead that a couple of people would be made redundant. So I thought, oh, that's a good way for me to get out of this job because then I'll get like extra payment for leaving, like my redundancy pay. So I just thought already like, okay, this is fantastic. This is my chance to finally leave because it's difficult to leave a job that is paying you well. But knowing that you have to leave, aha, that's good. And you're gonna get money ex on top of that. I was like, oh, this is the moment to leave. So I prepared myself. So I thought, what can I do other than singing? And I thought, okay, you can dance because you're good at that. Maybe you should teach. And then I thought, okay, what type of dance could I teach? And I sat down with my friend. We made up a name. So Shigito is basically my Eritrean nickname. Like my name is Segen Lidiana, but my
Nice.
father, thank you. But my father was to always called me Segenina, Shegitu, this and that. And I was like, oh, Shegitu sounds exotic enough. Let me use that. And then built my website whilst I was still at work. And I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, but I knew it's going to come to me just like everything else that I've done in life. And when I started with the first dance class, the people were like, oh my God, this is amazing. We'll be back next week. And that's when I was like, okay, this is something. This is good. I need to work on that. And then over the years, the confidence coaching came to me. I basically did a course with a lady called Harriet. And that's how my spiritual side was also awakened within me. And then during the pandemic, I was like, oh, I need to do something for my brain. I need to continue developing myself. And that's when I started doing Reiki. And that is as well, again, a new path. And I always look at my purpose and I'm like, I'm here to help. I'm here to bring out the best in people. And people have different ways of how they want to receive healing. Some through words, some through dance, some through meditation. It's different ways. So I'm one person, but I have the time. We all have the time to work on ourselves. And if that helps also like to help others and clients and family, then that's what it is. And that's what I'm doing.
Nice. That's amazing. What an incredible story. That's an
Thank you.
incredible story. And I like also that you're continuing to explore new things and new like modalities for helping people with their happiness and their confidence or just, you know, living out your purpose.
Thank you.
Is there something that you're now curious about exploring? So you recently added Reiki to your repertoire. Is there something that you kind of have your eye on now?
I want to use Reiki as an as like a bonus, as an extra thing. Just because I think when you want to do things really, really, really properly, you have to go really deep into it and really nurture it like fully, fully, fully. Especially now because of the pandemic, everything is distance Reiki at this moment. So my actual dream one day is to have this amazing, beautiful building that is dedicated to women, to help them. Basically what I'm doing, but just not just me, but a whole team. So I believe in order for me to be able to coach other people and to have staff in my building that can then do things, I need to know what it is because you can't be a boss without knowing what's happening in your house. So that's why I learned it, so that I know about it, so that I can, take the time and learn more and more and more. So for now, it's it's a bonus. Like when somebody does confidence coaching with me and they would like to have a bonus, I would like to offer that to them rather than it being just a modality on its own that people can book me for. And also for my friends and family, just to, you know, a lot of people always say, oh, I'm sending love, sending good positive energy, which is a beautiful intention. But now I can actually do that as well. So I can say sending Reiki and actually doing it, which is, you know, which is very powerful, really, really amazing. And all my friends and family that got my Reiki energy in the last couple of weeks, they really appreciated it. And it helps me as well to, you know, to discover different things within me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I loved listening. I have to say, I loved listening to you talk about this vision that you have with this building and the different things. That was a really cool moment. Do you want to talk a bit more about that, about what you envisioned? And I'm inviting you to do that because personally, I believe that there's tremendous power in our words and speaking out things. So when you take a moment to really express your vision and to be witnessed in that process, that is a very powerful thing to do. So if you're open to it, you're welcome to take a moment, and I'll just sit here and hold space for you to share this vision of yours.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much. It's incredible because I can see the building. Like it was, I believe a couple of years ago, I wasn't even confident enough to speak about it because I thought I didn't even believe it yet. But I want this building to be a place for women where they can, you know, where they can go inside completely broken, completely misunderstood, like anything that the world does to someone. And then when they go in there, that they just receive the magic that they need, you know, like anything from, because we don't know what people need. Most people don't even know what they need. So having a space of wonderful, amazing women that can just, like you're doing right now, hold space for one another and, you know, meditate for them, help them, heal them, whatever it is it physically, is it mentally, is it emotionally? That is my dream, because I always believe that hurt people will continue hurt other people. And when you have been to a place where you've been hurt and other people have shown you that they can help you by healing you, you will go out into the world and you continue healing others. And to me, that's magic. That's beautiful. That's how the whole world should be. Obviously, nobody's perfect, but we can always have the best intentions for the day and try our best. But I would just love to have a place like that where women around the world know we'll go there and we'll come out more amazing and greater than ever.
That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I love it. And I love the word magic that you're using. There is magic in all of that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Wow. Okay. So let's go in a different direction here. You mentioned you were born in Germany, grew up in Germany, then you moved to London, which is incredible that you took that step yourself. And parents are both born in Eritrea, I assume, or just, you know, migrated from Eritrea.
Yeah.
How does that, diaspora, I find this such an interesting word, diaspora, but that's a different conversation altogether. So how does that diaspora identity of yours, how has it shown up in your life? Are there things particularly that come up for you when I ask that question? And how does it show up now in the work that you do and the art, like the music, your business, and how you approach life?
Yeah. Thank you. So it's so funny because when I think back, I always think of myself as a German in Germany, because like I say very often to people, from Monday to Fridays, I was German, and then Saturdays and Sundays, I was Eritrean, because I, you know, I lived like a double life, because in this, in Germany, we weren't adapting. We were, what's that word? Assimilating. Like we had to be like that. Like even when people ask me, oh, Where are you from? They meant as in like, where are your parents from? Like it was almost like, we know you're German, but where are your parents from? Like that. Like it's almost like because they hear you speaking German, they assume you're German and nobody wants to know more. And you like you just try to be like everybody else. You're not trying to be different. And I enjoyed my time in Germany. Like I've, you know, everything that I do in life, like I always have to get the best out of it and think about it as positive as possible. But I really felt like that during the week I had to be somebody else. I had to be the German version of me. Like you would not share crazy things. And then on Saturdays we go to Eritrean school, and then you're just hanging out with all the Eritrean girls and guys. And then on Sundays you go to Eritrean church, and then you pray to everybody, Jesus and God and everything. And then you come home, you help, you know, arranging everything for the guests. And then Monday you're the German version of yourself again. So for me at that time it wasn't a problem. It was just how life is. When I came to London, I saw Nigerians wearing their Nigerian clothing. I saw Indians wearing their saris. I was like, where is my Zuria? Mama sent me my Zuria right now. I want to look like them. Like I was like, oh my God, how beautiful it is to, you know, be black and proud. And not just to say it, but really be proud. Like you wear what you want, you talk as you wish, you're not thinking about what are they thinking about me. And I think that was my problem in Germany, always to think about what they're thinking about me, like, but not in a confidence way, but more as in like that you don't want them to think that you're different. You just want to seem German. You don't want to spark a conversation. Like right now in 2021, we love to spark conversations. We love to talk about racism, about how you're being treated and all those kind of things. At that time, it was just a taboo. You don't talk about it because people were not even as aware of it. And there was always a way of making me feel as if like, yeah, well, if you don't like it, why don't you go back? That type of thing. So you wouldn't even say anything. So being now in London, I wear my Eritrean scarves occasionally. When you know, when there's certain things, I always tell my friends, oh no, this is what we do in Eritrea. Like I have a lemon everywhere we go. And they're like, why do you have a lemon? I was like, the lemon is like our paracetamol. We gotta have it. You know, you know, certain things that are just literally just the most Habesha way. Or even like I always tell people I don't like guests, but as soon as I have a guest, I treat them like a king and like a queen. And they're like, what is this? I was like, oh God, it's just my Habesha culture. Like, have you got enough to eat? Would you like more? Shall I wash your hands? You know? So I know there's just so many Habesha things still in me. But musically, I am now doing like a Eritrean fusion music. So it's Eritrean lyrics mixed with R&B, mixed with Afrobeat, mixed with reggae music. So a lot of the songs are done, but they're not out yet. So most people haven't heard them yet. And in my dance, sometimes I bring in as well cultural dances into my choreographies, and I'm so glad that I was able to be for the second part of my well for since like since I was 18 to be here in the UK to really enjoy being black and be proud to be Eritrean and to not feel judged or anything like that. So it's a wonderful experience to, you know, to be here and to be able to experience that.
I love it. There's a tagline of something you said. It was, "Shall I wash your hands?" I think that's the funniest, most ironic, most accurate way of describing it. That's so funny.
It's so true though. Like my mom would always tell me, like she would have like this really fancy type of oh, what is it called? This thing where they put the water in and stuff, like a bowl, but a really nice and fancy one. And I said to my mom, what is this? She's like, oh, we're gonna get new guests. And I was like, and she's like, you're gonna wash your hands? I was like, mom, no, please, no. And she's like, please do it. I was like, mom, no. But yeah, I did it just to make them all happy.
That's hilarious. How many hands have you washed? How many guest hands have you washed in your life?
Oh my God. Like, I mean, in Eritrea, I have to be the one just because it's amazing to them to see someone from abroad doing that. I think for them, it's just entertainment. For me, it was like, oh my God, why me? But I haven't counted, but over the years, so I've went to Eritrea and to Ethiopia the first time from the age of 6. And I'm pretty sure there must have been a good hundreds of hands, definitely. And then they bless you, so you don't feel so bad because they're like, "Yeah, biaki." So basically, like, may God bless you, and hopefully we be able to dance at your wedding and that kind of stuff. So I'm like, "Yeah, give me those blessings. I'm gonna wash your hands."
I love it. I love it. Do you go, when's the last time you went back to Eritrea?
That was 5 years ago. Just before I
Okay.
created Shigito. So once I got made redundant, I left the job and I went away for 6 weeks and I came back.
Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome. I was pro I mean, I assumed it was at least prior to this pandemic happening. And that makes sense. What like what's the pandemic been like for you?
You know what? I know a lot of people don't like me saying this, but whew. This time was needed. I needed this time to rediscover me, rediscover my life, to understand what I want and to recharge because I don't think I would have ever found the time to do all the things that I am currently doing and that I was doing last year if it wasn't for the pandemic. And at this point, I would like to say I'm not trying to sound negative and bad to all the people that have suffered. Because I know in this pandemic, a lot of people have, lost their businesses, family members, and a lot of things. And I'm definitely sympathizing with all of that. But I'm just looking at my life right now. Like for me, it was an opportunity to do better because I wasn't distracted, and I needed that time for myself. I really needed it. I've grown. I've become more positive. I've become healthier. I had goals that I thought that I will be doing in 20 years, and I've done them now. I've discovered new jobs, new things that I never even thought about. Like one thing was like, I'm very body positive, but then there are certain things where I was like, I'm not so sure about that. And when the opportunity came, I somehow said yes because I had so much time where I was able to just be with myself. And that was just full of positivity that I filled myself up with so much love that I got even more confident than I was already. And I was able to be in campaigning with like body positive campaigns for lingerie and all sorts of things where I was like, a year ago, I would have never done it, but the confidence grew, the self-love grew, my health just got so much better. I just took care and I'm still taking care of myself. I started writing an ebook. I've literally all my businesses that were in person, they're all online now. I've shifted it, I changed it, I did my Reiki, my relationships to my family. Oh my God. It was never this good. Never ever. My mom, I taught her how to use WhatsApp and video and everything. Like she is a master now. Like she's better than me. She sends me like memes and videos and stuff. Like I had time to work on myself and I am so grateful. I'm grateful for the time. I'm grateful for the things that I've learned. I'm grateful for the people that have left my life. I'm grateful for the new people that have come into my life. It was so needed, and I think there are way more positive things that have happened, but I just can't name them all. But it was really a time of making manifestations really, really happen for me. And once again, for everybody that is hearing that and that has now a screwed face, thinking, I don't mean it personal to anybody. It was just a very good time for me. But I also sympathize with everybody that had to go through a lot, and of course, all the people that have died.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. There was a lot of positivity there. There's a lot of good stuff happening in your life. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, like it's a tricky thing, you know, holding space for the positive and holding space for good things when they happen in our lives, while also holding space for the way a certain, you know, experience is affecting other people, or the impact that it has on others. And that could very well be a negative one, or just a more challenging one. And this pandemic is a great example of that, because, you know, I'm with you, you know, there were some ups and downs for me, but overall, it's been such a blessing. I feel incredibly blessed. And I know that I'm blessed. I know that I'm lucky. And I've been affected in a really good way. And I also acknowledge that so many other people have not been. And that's just, you know, I don't know, you know, I call that luck personally, because I think it's just, I'm just blessed. I don't know what else there is to it. You know, it's a blessing for sure. And well, also that's not to negate, you know, the efforts.
Of course.
To also, you know, stay aligned and to stay curious and to pivot and things like that. There's also efforts for sure.
But what I also wanted to say, I think it has also a lot to do with mindset, because when you said there were ups and downs, I thought about it for 2-3 seconds and I thought, oh my God, I had them too. Like, you know, the downs. But do you know what it is? There's this beauty of forgetting the negatives, but growing from it, learning from it, growing from it, but then almost like forgetting about it, but basically by not telling your brain over and over again what had happened. And I think if I look back, there must have been, I'm pretty sure there were a lot of bad things as well. But at this point, when you come out of it and you're in a good space, you just don't think about them anymore. So it's not only your luck, it's also your mindset. Like you've gone through it and you've come out of it and now you're at a good place. So it's all in all together. So positive thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mindset is key to many, many things. For me, I call it perception, because I think it's just our perception of the world. But that takes me to mindset. Let's go in the direction of mindset and things like happiness. Happiness, maybe also peace of mind. What do these things mean to you?
Oh, that's like literally what I aim to be every single day of my life, because life is so much more beautiful when you're aligned and when you're balanced and you feel like you can breathe with nothing negative kind of killing your vibe. So it's basically everything that I need in my life. And I think that everybody would benefit off as well if they had that, like, or tools to become that every single day. And very important as well for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Curious now, who are some of the people that inspire you, and why do they inspire you?
Ah, good question. It always depends, because musically, it's Stevie Wonder. And it was that really short biography that I read, must have been like 10, 12 years ago, where I was like, what? Stevie? What is this? Like, basically what it said is, obviously we all know that Mr. Stevie Wonder is blind. But also in that book, it said as well that he wasn't able to have like a sense of smell, like he could not smell. And then he had another accident, and then he had this. But none of these things have stopped him from being this genius that he is. And it's like, you know, I feel like sometimes we live in, because I worked in different parts of, like, you know, society and stuff like that. And very often when we can't do anything, there is always somebody that says, oh, that's because you have illness, or and they give you a title, and then you believe that. And then you become that. And when I was reading and listening more to Stevie Wonder and his music, and I was writing this little, not dissertation, it was like a little project about him, I was like, this man has never said anything about what he can't do, but he's showing through action what he can do. And with no excuses, like somebody says, hey, could you do this? And somebody says, oh yeah, but I'm blind, I can't read. But then I see someone like Stevie Wonder and he just learns it by heart. And for me, being at that time in college where I was the only girl in a class full of guys, I was like, I cannot use the fact that I'm a woman as an excuse to not make good beats. And I know it sounds really silly now, but back then I felt really intimidated because I didn't know how to produce. I didn't know how to use Cubase and all the Logic and all the other softwares. So I was like, what am I doing? I knew I had the passion for it, but I didn't know what I was doing. But reading more and more about him, listening to his music, I thought, like, if he can do it with no excuses and no negativity and whatsoever, then I can do it, you can do it, they can do it, everybody can do it. And that inspired me for life. Like, I'm still inspired by him.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's awesome. And also, I have to just point out, you were the only woman in your class.
Yeah, for music production.
Wow, that's incredible. So you're basically leading the way at the time.
Absolutely. And it was, I don't know, it was again a scary situation, but I was just tired of boys trying to sell me a beat or to tell me, oh, you gotta be my girlfriend, then I'll give you some beats. I was like, no, let me study, let me study, let me do this because I don't want to be anyone's girlfriend. So I was like, let me, if I have the skill, then I can use it forever rather than being someone's girlfriend for now just to get some beats. So I was like, nope, thank you.
I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love music personally, and I'm with you. I use Ableton, and half the time I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh wow, Ableton, yes.
I just try things, and I have a lot of fun with it. But
Yeah.
most of the software, I don't know what any of it means, and it's just it's an experience. It's a journey, and I love being curious about it. So I just keep learning new things every day. It's a lot of fun.
Amazing. Keep doing that. Just keep doing that.
Let's go back to your dance, the Shigeto dance. Because for me, I watched the videos, I checked out the different offerings that you have on your website. And like what attracted me the most was the sensuality, sensuality piece of it. And that for me, speaks out to me because in my experience, there was a lot of, I think at some point during my childhood, I created this belief internally that to express my feminine side or my feminine energy or my sensuality would somehow make me a little less safe. Like it was not as safe to be a woman as it was to be a man or to be just the masculine. Like the masculine was like this protective, strong kind of energy, and the feminine was like vulnerable. And so I, this belief manifested for me throughout my teens and sort of like slowly, I wouldn't say repressed, but being hesitant to fully embody that part of myself. Because again, of that belief of like, oh, but if I embody it, then what am I attracting to myself? And like what kinds of things might happen? Which is ironic because, the whole assault on women, things like that, and people saying things like, well, you shouldn't have worn that or whatever.
Oh, God.
And I know intellectually, I understand that this isn't true, but to have, for that transformation to take place in a much deeper embodied way, that takes time and takes works. And so when I see something like Shigeto Dance, where you are holding space for women to really embody that sensuality and to express that and to do it freely and unapologetically and to just have fun while doing that, that's a really beautiful thing for me because for me, it's like, it's a solution to like, oh, well, here's a place where I can actually take the time to bring more of that out of myself and to feel safe doing that. So it's a really beautiful thing. So I want you to talk about the sensuality piece. Like, first of all, why is that important to you? And also, like, it's just such a be like for me, it brings up a lot of gratitude and beauty. I see a lot of beauty in that. So I just want you to talk about that.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. Everything you said. Oh my God, thank you. Ah, sensuality is so important. And I know exactly what you mean about not feeling safe or people judging and that kind of stuff. But I learned the more I did Shigitu, the more I learned about it, that it's really about your inner power, like specifically your sacral chakra, like you becoming the woman that you are supposed to be. And in everything, like your aura, your essence, your body, your mindset, your everything. Because we live in a world where we try to be everything and everyone for anyone instead of being or working from that feminine magic area within ourselves. So it sensuality, or basically the sensual dance, it's you showing love to yourself. I know a lot of people look at it like, oh, okay, this is basically if you have a man, this is basically if you want more men, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can, that's not stopping you from that. But most importantly, the sensuality is for you showing yourself some love, because most people are focused on, making love with somebody or giving them whatever they need. But what about you? How do you show yourself some love? How can, like, can you not confidently look into the mirror and dance sexily? Can you just watch that on TV, seeing Beyoncé and everybody doing that, but not for yourself? Why not? It should all start from within. That's what I believe. And when your hands, like we were talking earlier about Reiki, your hands are magic. And when your hands touch your body and you start dancing sensually, you are seeing yourself in a completely different light. You feel sexier, you feel more body positive, you feel like you're literally building your more confident alter ego. And that is the magic within knowing yourself. So it's the dance is basically just helping, but it's the journey to understanding who you are, and literally let your femininity and your creativity and your self-love literally flow within you. And then for the outer eyes, you can then see that in performances. You can see that in your bedroom action with your partner, and in various other ways. So some people find that they start showing themselves so much love, and they dance so confidently that they start walking more confidently, and then they start talking more confidently. Then they go for the job that they want because they feel like, basically, I'm that bitch. I know who I am. I saw myself in that mirror and I look good. And that gives you the attitude then to continue. So it's all kind of together with your body, your mind, your spirit, everything all in one. But people will know more when they start joining. And but yeah, so that's basically what it is.
That's beautiful. That the part where you said it's showing yourself love, that went right to my heart. That just really reframed things for me. That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Thank you.
So cool. So when is the new music coming up? When can people expect that?
Oh God, I don't know the date, but I know it's going to be soon because I can't wait. But we're now preparing the first single right now. We're just gathering a couple of ideas, how we're going to launch it and market it. But it all depends really on the pandemic and when things are opening, because I need to do a music video as well. So as soon as that's more clear on when I can fly out, I'll be able to fly out, do the music video, get it edited, and then we have an exact date. But we've got two songs fully ready, two in the making, and we're aiming to have, I think, six or seven. It's like a EP.
My God, you are busy. You are
I
so busy.
try. I try. I try.
Really, really productive. So incredibly productive. It's
Thank you.
inspiring. It's awesome. Wow. Cool. What's something that's exciting you right now, aside from the music that's coming out, of course. But yeah, just re if you think about, actually, we're Sunday, so last week, what's something that excited you last week?
Last week, I was excited about our podcast today. So
Nice.
I was really like looking forward to it because I was preparing myself for all the positivity that is going to come this weekend. So yesterday I had my dance class. This morning I had another interview. Now I have this amazing podcast with you. So I get excited about things that make me happy. And that could be anything, like anything that is aligned with me. Because the opposite is me not looking forward to something that I don't want to do. But now the more I'm getting into my element, like I said earlier before we started recording, I feel so aligned today because everything is in my element. Everything, like me talking about music and Shigeto to you is in my alignment, and everything feels so amazing. So knowing that, like the best thing in my life right now is that I have always something to look forward to, and everything mm-hmm. that is aligned with me excites me. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
It's so general, but it's true.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, before we started the podcast, I was telling you about this abundance farm that I went to with my housemates. Mm. That was exciting for me. Mm. To yes. some people, that might not be exciting, but for me, that was very, very exciting.
That's very exciting. I wish I was there and I'd be like, yeah, I want to be part of this.
Yeah. And not even just that, but also, you know, like driving back, I was driving and everybody just started napping in the car. So, aww. You know, it's just me driving with a bit of music playing on the highway and everybody's sleeping. And that was so incredibly exciting wow. to me. As I felt like I was sharing this beautiful moment with other people. It's just, there's something about other people, like when other people do things like either nap or sleep around me or eating with people, you know, or just doing like the most simple, basic, mundane things with people. It's just so exciting. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. That, I mean, humans in general are really beautiful people. they really are. They really are. This is a totally off topic, random question since I just mentioned humans. Do you have any pets?
This is so funny. This is the third time I'm being asked this question this week.
Really?
Yes. This is so funny because a lot of people always think I have a pet, but I don't know. I have a big garden and we have sometimes reindeers there. We've got Bambi and Dolly. Dolly is the mother and Bambi is her daughter.
Wow.
But I haven't seen them in a while. That's but they're awesome. Not my pets. They're just intruders.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love, so they come right up to your garden?
Yeah. And we have, I live in a forest. So I have squirrels and sometimes we have magpies coming into the flat as well. I was like, get out. So I'm more scared of them, even though I live so close to the animals. But I definitely don't have any wanted pets in the, well, unwanted not. We have a couple of spiders, but. That's nature, isn't it? That's not a pet.
It could be if you
girl
wanted.
No, not those ones.
Oh man, that's funny. I've never asked anybody that question. That's the first time I've ever asked.
Oh, this is so magic because this is now the third time this week literally. But do you have any pets?
No, I do not have any pets. I also feel the same way. I love animals. I think it's beautiful. Vancouver, just BC in general, there's a ton of forestation, lots of opportunity to be around animals, which is really beautiful. We just happen to not have any pets and that's okay. That's okay. We're happy with that. We did consider getting some chickens because you're allowed 4 chickens in the city. So we did consider that, but that seems like a huge commitment. I don't know how often I have to feed them, you know, what's going to like cleaning up after them. I just, it sounds like fun, but in reality, it might actually be a lot of work.
Yeah.
It would be nice though to, you know, to get the eggs from my own garden and then eat the eggs. That'd be kind of nice.
That would be proper organic. Yeah, no, that would be beautiful. But I know, like, that's why I meant earlier, like everything needs commitment, like if you want to do it properly. So yeah, so chickens would be nice, but they're also awake very early, aren't they? Like, because when I used to live in, when I was in Eritrea, you hear them at 6 a.m. I'm like, no, no.
Yep.
Leave me alone.
yep. So I had a question in mind, and I actually want to reframe the question now. Mm-hmm. Originally, the question was, what's the challenge you faced as a Black woman, and how have you navigated and transcended that challenge? Now I'd like to reframe that question and I guess reframe other questions that are parallel to this one. Mm-hmm. What is a challenge? No, what is an opportunity for transformation that showed up in your life as a Black woman? Because, you know, there's a challenge, but a challenge is also an opportunity for transformation, especially when it relates to things like that. So what are some opportunities for transformation that you've experienced in your life as a Black woman? So mm-hmm. other particular experiences that you've had in throughout your life, or maybe somewhere here and there, as a Black woman specifically, you know, challenges that only Black women face, or Black women face more than other women mm-hmm. or men. So it's that question, except I'm reframing the question so that we're actually not focusing on the challenge. We're focusing on the transformation that unfolded because of that challenge.
Wow. That's a great question. Ooh. Well, there are so many things that I've experienced as a Black woman, as an Eritrean woman, like generally my life, like a lot of people always assume like, oh my God, she's got it so good. Everything is wonderful. Because when I talk from a place of healing. I talk from a place mm-hmm. of I've gone through it and I'm here now. And sometimes I don't even mention what I had to go through in order to make people explain who I am, because sometimes it also goes into the wrong direction. So, but like many other Black women, I've been through racism, still am, abuse, assumptions, all sorts of things, like just the experience that I have in the UK, in Germany, in my relationships, in my friendships, in other countries, and just knowing that a lot of things are just very, very different for you than if you were a woman of another color. Mm-hmm. And I used to really take it negatively when people, not even used to, it's just a general negative thing when people say, oh my God, you're not like all the other Black girls, or mm-hmm. oh my God, but you're different. And I'm like, yeah, but you're talking about my sisters. It's mm-hmm. it's not making me feel better if you're telling me that I'm better than them, because I don't want to be better than them. I am them. They are me. We're all mm-hmm. we're all the same, really and truly. So so I just try to find ways to use the assumptions and the fact that people continue hurting Black women, society, assuming and stuff like that into compassion. Because I can use my time to discuss everything, to think about everything, to share it with people that probably will not understand where I come from, then go on Clubhouse and then discuss it with strangers that might understand me, might not understand me, and all sorts of stuff. Or I can use that to better myself and to get back to the place where I want to be, which is peace, mm-hmm. which is balance, which is love, which is feeling positive, feeling empowered. So so when I do get certain assumptions or certain treatments, depending on what it is, maybe I do something about it, maybe I say something, maybe I'm just absolutely quiet. But within me, I know I have to transform that into strength, into positivity, into love, and that's how I go back to doing something like Shigitu, because if I took everything serious, I wouldn't be able to be the 100% queen that I am when I enter the Shigitu world, because mm-hmm. I have to be 100% in order to give everybody else 100%. So the same thing as well with your friendships. Like if you want to be a good friend, you gotta be full. Like I remember the first 2 months of this year, I had to work on myself and I had to step back from everybody and be like, ladies, gents, I have to work on myself in order to be that person that I can be for all of you. And rather than taking it too personal or letting it damage me from the inside or the outside or any kind of side, to really use that to do something good about it. But because at the end of the day, we all want a better world. We all want to be happy. We all want to be balanced. So that's what we do through compassion.
I love it. I love it. Compassion and transforming it into a strength internally. That's a beautiful, beautiful way of putting it. It's a beautiful approach. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Wow. It's been such a lovely conversation. I'm so grateful and honored that you came onto the podcast, the Almas podcast, FYI. I don't know if you know, but it's named after my grandmother, one of my grandmothers. And that's my way of, because I recognize that I grew up in the Western world and probably a lot like you, lived a bit of a double life for a long time. And I'm finally in a place where, I'm integrating these two parts of myself. And through this integration and the embodiment of this integration, it's showing up in what I'm doing. And so instead of, because I could have called this podcast anything, I could have called it anything. But instead, what I felt called to call it was after my grandmother, and the colors and the colors and the theme, it's all basically inspired by the Sidama tribe, which is what my parents are both from the Sidama tribe. So I'm the Sidama tribe too. I should also say that I am also Sidama. So it's beautiful to see these transformations and turning things into strengths show up in life now. Because at one point, this wasn't a strength like me. I can say with honesty that at one point in my life, being Sidama was not something that was a strength for me. It wasn't something that I related to as a strength. If anything, I related to it as like an awkward thing that I didn't know what to do with. Because it felt foreign and I felt disconnected. And now it's a strength. And that's, that and what you shared, these are just beautiful examples of how we are first reconciling, the disconnects in our lives and in our identities and our ancestry. And then we're actually recognizing the strength in them. We're recognizing the beauty, and we're expressing that fully. And it's just a beautiful thing. So I'm grateful for your presence today, for everything that you've shared.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor, and I love that you call this podcast the Almas podcast. It's just I love my grandmother, so I totally understand. This is absolutely beautiful, and thank you for the honor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. So before we wrap this up, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with the audience?
Final thoughts. So guys, so thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking till the end. And just continue shining your light.
Love it. Thank you. Thank you, Lidiana.
Thank you, my darling. Thank you, Gabriella. I am honored. Thank you for having me.
That was episode 2 of the Almas podcast. That was Lidiana. My God, what a multi-talented human being. I don't know about you, but you gotta go check her out, because I have no words. I don't understand how a person can be so multi-talented and how she managed to just be so productive in these different areas in her life, and how she's juggling all these things. It really goes to show that it shows that it's possible. It shows that you can do that. And she's doing it. She's doing all the things. You know, I just like, I think for me, what she left me with more than anything is just this willingness, this openness, this energy for going the distance, doing the thing that she feels curious about, that she feels excited about, doing it, throwing herself into it, and succeeding. And it's just really beautiful to see. So I'm looking forward to her music, looking forward to the sensual dancing, because that is just also so incredibly heartwarming to have come across. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for tuning in and for listening. With lots of love from me and from Lydiana and from, I guess, you know, all of our ancestors with us, smiling, sending you all love and celebrating and cherishing your existence today. Until next time, this was Gabriella Love, and this was the Almas Podcast.